Hello and welcome to episode number 51 of Light the Eye, presented by the U of I Credit Union. I'm Scott Beatty.
And I'm Robert Rosenthal.
Great to be with you in summertime here on the campus of the University of Illinois, inside the Armory at the Center for Teaching and Innovation and Learning. Robert, glad to have you in studio as well.
Yes, I'm not in Idaho or visiting one of the various seven grandchildren, so...
Good.
Here I am.
It's good to get those moments. It's good to be back here as well. Actually were going to record this a day earlier. We were going to record yesterday, but as folks around here know, and actually across a good portion of Illinois, weather got a little rocky, so things got shut down here. And, of course, we know there's some bad damage to the south, down the Effingham area, and even Charleston. So I know that was a tough situation for a lot of folks. But here's how bad... it got.
Okay.
I got a visual image here for those who are viewing here on YouTube, but even if not, I'll describe this to you. This is somebody posted this on Twitter. Not something I follow, but I just saw it. This is from a guy named Austin Guy. Uh-huh. I don't know who you are, but I know you have flown many times out of Champaign.
I have.
And if you're going to take a commercial flight out of Champaign, you're going to go either to the north to O'Hare, because it's American Airlines, the only airline right now. Or you're going to go south to Dallas. There are two hubs, and then you'll connect to your final destination. So this was a flight yesterday that was supposed to go from Champaign to O'Hare. Okay, flight time, if you don't count all the taxiing business that in O'Hare, or the long landing pattern that they traffic everybody in through, like the flight time is 25 minutes,
yes,
right?
28 minutes exactly.
Yeah,
if you take off point, if you don't have to like take off to the south and then loop around, it's exactly 28 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it's always faster from the time you take off in Chicago down to Champaign, because there's not a big traffic pattern that they've got to vector everybody into.
Yes.
Okay, so you can see here on this image, this was a flight from Champaign to Chicago O'Hare that took off from Champaign and went due west.
Yep. It flew over Des Moines.
It went due west past Springfield, went to the south a bit, went over Missouri.
Yes.
Deep into the heart of it.
Yes.
Then turned north. At this point, it's kind of north of Kansas City.
Yes.
And then swung around outside of Des Moines, came above Des Moines, over to the top of Waterloo, into Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And back down into O'Hare, all because they had to circumvent, I assume,
all these storms. Yeah. Yes.
I mean, they loaded this sucker up for a, it says here on the information, it was a 2-hour and 1-minute flight.
Yes. My wife has been on that flight 75 times, 100 times since we moved to Champaign. She flies for work, so she's been on that flight a ton. And I'll track her flight, so sometimes, you know, she's been known to go over, you know, I think the farthest I've seen him go to avoid a storm is like go to the Quad Cities and then back. But yeah, this is insanity. Here's the other thing about this. Say you were to have gotten on a train at 10:24, the northbound, I believe it's the Saluki that time of day, could have gotten to O'Hare faster by going to Union Station and taking the Blue Line to O'Hare than you could have by flying it. That's your local, your friendly neighborhood train supporter telling you, folks, take the train. Let me look in the camera. Take the train. Take the train. Does the train have to fly around a storm? The train does not have to fly around the storm.
No. It only
has to. The train goes through the storm.
It only has to pull over for freight trains.
Oh, well, I mean, come on. It's details. It's part of the fun.
Yeah. All right, we've got some items to catch up on as it pertains to Illini Athletics. Obviously, no games going on anymore. Track and field finished their participation in the national championships. But otherwise, things are quiet in terms of actual competition. But we still have things to get to. The Brett Bielema golf outing recently happened. Some recruiting items. Practices have started for basketball. Huge implications for that when it comes to new roster numbers.
Huge.
And, of course, everyone's talking about the Brendan Sorsby deal down at Texas Tech. There's an interesting Illini connection to all that. So we're going to dive into quite a bit of fun stuff. We appreciate you being along. Hey, if you would, take a moment. However you are watching or listening, could you do the thing that says good job?
Smash that like button.
Yeah.
Smash it.
Only if you really feel we are deserving of it.
Yeah, if not, there's a thumbs down. You could hit that too.
Hit it twice. All right, but before we get into all of that.
It's been a while.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's light the eye.
All right, before we go any further, we need to welcome in a new voice and face on the podcast.
That's right.
As long-time, is it long-time listeners,
viewers?
Can
you say long-time? Long-time
audience member?
7 months now? Yeah. 7 months.
This is our 51st episode.
Okay. Once you clear 50,
those have been with us from the beginning.
Yes.
Know that Maisie graduated. Mm-hmm. Maisie Garrett graduated. She's got a gig in Iowa on television. And Ella is away for the summer. So we searched high and low for the most qualified student producer that we could find that also lives here.
That's right. That's right.
I'm just kidding. Let's welcome in Kendall Crawford. Hey, Kendall. Welcome to Light the Eye. Thanks for being here. I'm introducing you like you're a guest, but you knew you were going to be here.
Hey, everyone. How's it going? I'm Kendall. It's good to be here. Really.
But you are the token townie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was the obvious choice, right? I mean, right here, about 10 minutes away.
That's
yeah.
right.
But you're a student at the University of Illinois. You're in, what's your major?
Well, I'm in advertising with a minor in recreation, sport, and tourism, but I have a certificate in sport media. So somewhat,
yeah.
this is working for me.
So this is your bag.
You're
a native of Champaign, which makes you the townie.
Yeah, yeah, of course. I've been around here for a while, and you know, like Illinois sports has been a huge thing for me. So just being on this podcast and seeing all the work you guys have done, it's awesome to be here. So yeah.
Awesome. You know, we didn't cover this the last time we talked, but my minor was also, well, actually it wasn't recreation, sport, and tourism, because back then it was called leisure studies. So we share a minor, sir.
I'm honored, Robert.
But yes. It's no small thing.
Yes. Oh, yes. And well, I wish I could say, when you say, yeah, my leisure studies, people are like, leisure studies? Yeah. What is that? Which is why they changed the name to recreation, sport, and tourism.
Yeah. But the other cool connection I feel with you, Kendall, is I have the honor and it's a passion of mine to get to do the radio for Illinois baseball. So tell us about your dad.
Oh, gosh, man. I mean,
who's your dad?
He talks about himself enough when people
come
up to
him. Who is your daddy and what does he do?
So my dad, are you talking about like his career right now or just his career for Illinois?
You know, so as much as you want to divulge, but I was, yeah.
Well, many people don't like him for his real job right now because he's busting up that highway over there.
For the last 4.5 years.
Yeah. He's a transportation engineer, right?
Isn't yes.
he? Oh, yeah. He's running that whole project over there, and people have been nagging on him. But he's working his tail off, I can promise you guys. They're listening in. So.
And we're like 6 months away, right? Something like that?
Hopefully that's what he's saying, but I think he's just saying
that. Well, hold him to it.
Don't make him the spokesperson for a major interstate project.
For those who don't know who haven't been to Champaign, they are completely redoing the interchange of 57 and 74. Like, completely tearing everything out. It's a 4.5-year project.
Yeah,
so.
It is. There's lots of flyovers. So that's what your dad does now. But back in the day, back in the 90s, before you were even a twinkle in his eye, what did he do?
So, I think it was 93 and 94. He was a walk-on. Actually, this is actually an incredible story. So, he played for Centennial High School here in Champaign. And he was a really good pitcher. He got some coach's eyes on him. So, he played for Parkland. Played 2 years there. And then he went over to Illinois after that. And one day, he went over with his friend, his roommate, actually, who was on the team. And he was, you know, just watching him play. And then Coach Itch, the coach at the time, who recently passed, somewhat recently. He asked him onto the field, actually. I think Coach Itch had, like, seen him play. He had to have. There's no way. Because he wouldn't have just asked my dad to go on the field, I feel. It just feels really weird to have done that for no reason. Anyways, my dad just got on the field. He got a hit off of one of the pitchers, and Coach Itch literally told him in these words, he said, come back the next day. And he did, and he gave him a walk-on.
Wow. Was he like in jeans and like a like was he dressed to go play baseball?
Was it like the
baseball?
Rookie?
Yeah, exactly. The rookie? Exactly. Inquiring minds want to know.
A t-shirt and jeans and like, no, I'm just kidding.
And he cranked a three-run homer.
Sandlot baseball cap.
He didn't have all the elbow guards that they have now. And
that's right. That's great. It.
But the other thing is your dad became all Big Ten.
He did. I didn't dig too much into the achievements my dad had as a baseball player. He made it into the Parkland College Baseball Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Ken and, Crawford we're talking about, by the way.
And the Centennial one, but I don't know if he made it into the U of I one.
No, he did not the Hall of Fame, but he got a conference honor. I looked it up in the media guide.
Oh, sweet. So you already know more about my dad than I do.
Sounds like
your dad's going to listen to this and like, I was all conference. Say I was all conference, son.
No, so.
You're going to find the trunk one day of all the awards.
That's right.
And be like, wow, he was such a humble man. Anyway, well, I just like, you know, of course, Dan Hartlib has been on the podcast, the head coach. So Dan was an assistant back then. So he would have coached your dad. One way or another, and now you're here, and you and I paired up doing a softball broadcast for the Big Ten Plus. So,
here we are. Yeah, it was a ton of fun doing that with you. And then I learned the Justin Timberlake reference that you gave me that I had no idea about.
That's because it was the last broadcast of April, and I said
it's going to be May.
I said the next game is next time we play or whatever. It's going to be May.
Okay, I just want to point out to listeners.
No clue.
Do you feel? Have you ever felt older? Then knowing that you're a junior going into your senior year, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
That a junior in college going into senior year didn't get a Justin Timberlake reference. That's how old we are. We're that old.
That's why we have you here, Kendall, to bridge the gap.
That's right.
You know, keep the demographics wide as possible.
That's right.
Well, I'm glad I can help you guys out. Yeah, of course.
You're off to a rip-roaring start.
That's what I'm here for.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Kendall. Welcome aboard. Robert, let's see. Where are we? Last week, right? No, this week?
Monday.
Yeah, earlier this week. Monday was the Brett Bielema annual golf outing over at the Atkins Golf Course in Urbana.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to go over there and check out the vibe.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Those are the best, man. Like, it's just... You know, every team golfing in the tournament gets a coach that's part of it. All the proceeds go to the quarterback club. It's their main fundraiser. It's a really cool thing. It's kind of funny. You know, I know we're going to talk football recruiting in a second. It's interesting to watch. Like, everybody seems to think that football commitments, like, everybody already knows where the kid's going to go before he announces, but there were coaches like checking their phones for these announcements that were coming in, like, hey man, you need to putt over here, and like, hold on, he's about to announce, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, if you think fans get crazy over like, will he pick Illinois or will he pick a competitor or whatever, the coaches, I mean, it's their job, right? They're living and dying. They've invested hundreds of hours into these kids, and you know, it comes down to they sit down at a table with a bunch of hats and pick one of them. So it's always fascinating to watch that side of it from, you know, obviously they're nervous and they're wanting these players to be on the team eventually. So it's an interesting thing.
Well, and the players can indicate they're committed one way or the other.
Sure.
And then there could be especially now, there could be a last minute, last moment change.
Yeah.
It's not like the old days where you knew a kid was coming to Illinois and he would never at the last moment switch at his press conference and say he was going to Kansas.
Yes. And there's still, I mean...
Wait a minute, that did happen. But you can do that now legitimately.
Even all of our listeners are too young to remember that reference. I'm just kidding.
That was only like, what, 12 years ago, 15 years ago?
Yes, but Justin Timberlake was big back then.
Touche.
But yeah, it's an interesting... I've always said that I enjoy off-season stuff just as much as I enjoy season stuff, just as an alum and as somebody who covers the team and everything else, it's just neat to see, you know, people all get their photo. Golf foursomes get their photo with coach, that's the main reason I was there, because the quarterback club asked us to have the fire engine in the backdrop of those photos. So we, here's the funny thing. I drive to a golf tournament. I'm taking my golf clubs. I'm driving in the fire engine. So I just pull up under the porte-cochere entrance at Atkins and like hop out, grab my clubs out of the back seat of the fire truck and just like, all right, fellas, I'm here.
Don't need your axe and, you know, yes, face mask. You yes. just need your wedge.
No helmet needed. Just did I remember my shoes? Yeah. So, but yeah, it was a blast. It's the best. And, you know, they do, Underwood has one for the Rebounders Club and everything else. One of the better things about being local and being in Champaign is being around those things.
All right. Then since you and I last talked, maybe the biggest topic in college sports, other than the College World Series going on right now, we're down to Oklahoma and North Carolina for the finals. But the other thing was the curious case of Brendan Sorsby, the quarterback for Texas Tech University. So he admits to gambling on himself, his own team. Mm-hmm. And goes in for treatment and all that, and they say you can't play anymore, right?
Yep.
And he says who? And so they go to a judge, and
a judge who went to what school?
Texas Tech.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge says you can't do that. You can't say that to him. You can't say he can't play. You must reinstate him.
Mm-hmm.
And Texas Tech says, well, they said we are have to play him, mm-hmm. and golly gee, we think we think he's on the right path now towards restoration and recovery and all that. So, and these were not small amounts. This was not a little side bet on who do you think's going to win the U.S. Open. This mm-hmm. was like tens of thousands of dollars, significant amounts of money. Texas Tech says, well, golly gee, we've got to play him. Mm-hmm. And released a 21-minute video with several administrators and officials explaining their reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
And the public outcry was almost universal.
Yes,
across the board. There was reports coming out of Nebraska is going to say, was saying, don't play him. We're not mm-hmm. going to play him. And the Big Ten might consider saying anybody who is scheduled Texas Tech, don't play them.
Mm-hmm.
Illinois is scheduled in basketball to play Texas Tech on the return game of a home and home
mm-hmm.
for men's basketball. Just don't have anything to do with these guys if they're going to. Yes, gambling is an addiction. It needs treatment. It's not simply somebody making a poor choice. There's can be much more to it.
Mm-hmm.
However,
mm-hmm.
you gambled on your own sport, let alone your own team.
Indiana.
Yeah.
Now that you know, Texas Tech came out with all that stuff of like, oh, he did bet on Indiana while he was at Indiana, it wasn't any of the games he played in. He only played in three games that year, and he didn't place any bets that year. And he was only betting for his teammates. But with some of these prop bets, I mean, look, say you're at practice. And say you're a practice, you're an Illinois player last year, and you find out that in this game plan is the Hank Beatty end around. Like, if you get in the red zone, they're going to have Hank Beatty throw it, right?
Mm-hmm.
He threw for a touchdown last year. And then you bet the prop bet on passing yards for Hank Beatty. That's a huge, huge, you know, that's what the Texas Tech message seemed to miss. Is they're trying to like explain these things away. Well, this wasn't Pete Rose. This wasn't somebody like those, you know, those NCAA basketball players who were indicted for like point shaving, like literal, mm-hmm. like missed the shots. And
even if it was like Pete Rose, it's just across a line.
Yes.
Most people say, you cross that line.
Yes.
Too bad, so sad.
He's betting certain players will have certain yards in certain games, and he knows the game plan. That is way over the line. And Texas Tech tried to act like it was nothing.
Well, they acted like it was something, but no longer.
Yes.
something in how I interpreted it. Nonetheless, there was a countersuit put out by, you know, the NCAA was, I mean, the NCAA was the one that was saying he can't play.
Sure.
And they were the ones that were sued. It wasn't just Texas Tech.
Yep.
I mean, it wasn't, to be fair, Texas Tech did not go to court to say, we want him to play.
Mm-hmm.
The NCAA went to court to say he, because he was suing back because the NCAA had said, for all the things we can gripe about the NCAA, seemed like, they got this right, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, here's why I called about this, because it's not light the TTU. This is light the eye.
Yes.
Matt Brown, who is the publisher of Extra Points MB, great publication. It's digital, Extra Points MB. Matt Brown covers everything in college sports except the sports. Everything except the actual games.
Mm-hmm.
He covers business, the fun stuff, like let's FOIA how much toilet paper a stadium uses.
He has FOIA'd more things than maybe any human on earth.
But he also digs deep into contracts, the business, the marketing deal, mm-hmm. And he's a must read for a lot of folks in the industry.
Yep.
Anyway, he put out, this is highly unprecedented, what just happened in terms of a lawsuit. He said the closest historical example to the Big 12 Sorsby lawsuit thing I could think of was the Big 10's battle with Illinois quarterback Dave Wilson in 1981. The Big 10 said he was ineligible. He got an injunction. Illinois got put on probation by the Big 10, big lawsuit. Robert, I consider myself fairly educated
mm-hmm.
when it comes to Illinois athletics. I went, what? So I brought this up to you and you said, I got things to tell you about this.
I got stuff.
So it's just interesting that this is so rare that it reminded somebody of 1981 and an Illinois incident.
Yes. So I first want to say that my real memory of like year by year of Illini athletics begins in 83-84. I was 11 years old or whatever, and that's when I started a fan. Then I kept my scrapbooks and I remember the teams and I remember the games and this and that. So this is not a topic I remember like off the dome. This is not some like, oh, I remember those days, but I have researched it and written about it a few years ago, and so I know I like did a deep dive on this stuff. Lorne would obviously be better because he, you know, was writing about it as it went. But I can give you a lot on the subject. So if people don't know about this, after Mike White was hired, I think people know that he went the California JUCO route to immediately boost the roster. He brought in a ton of junior college players from California. It's not that it was frowned upon at the time. It was just like, hey, what's Illinois? It kind of like when teams were, remember when Deion started first using the portal and he got to Colorado and he said, you know, like, hey, I'm bringing in my own luggage and it's Gucci. And, you know, he cuts 40 players and brings in a ton of, you know, new guys from the portal. And everybody's like, ooh, what's going on?
It was a little more like, we're not doing anything wrong. We're just going to zag where everyone else is zigging.
Yes. And now, you know, Kurt Cignetti won a national title doing exactly that. So, you know, things have adjusted. But at the time, a Big Ten program, and think this is 1980 Big Ten, so this is academic reputation Big Ten, and this is a bit stodgy Big Ten, and this is just a different college sports environment. And so the idea of, hey, are these kids really student athletes? Where's this Mike White guy getting those student athletes, this and that? The focus of all of that becomes Dave Wilson. So Dave Wilson was a quarterback from a junior college in California. Illini fans, if you don't know much about him, the one thing you might know is he threw for over 600 yards in a game against Ohio State. And again, this is the Big Ten that was like 112 passing yards a game would lead the conference kind of thing.
That's still the record. That's the record game.
Yes.
It was in a loss.
Yes, in a loss,
Ohio State
got a standing ovation from the Ohio State fans. At Ohio State.
Yeah, the second most yardage in a game was John Paddock just a few years ago.
That's right.
The win over Indiana.
That's right. So it was this big, like, what? you know, things are changing and what's Illinois trying to do. And just think of the Big Ten presidents and chancellors and everybody else and coaches in 1979. This is your Bo Schembechler, Woody Hayes era. So the big issue was when Illinois recruited Dave Wilson, he was not immediately eligible. And he was not eligible because, and I have to be put a fine point to this, he had played in one game in 1977 at a junior college in California. He got injured on the first play of that game. So he played one play in the 1977 season. I believe he broke his arm, if I remember correctly. And then he just dropped out of school and said, I'm just going to come back to JUCO football next year. Because of that one play, the NCAA and the Big Ten were saying, when Illinois is recruiting him in 1980, because he played the 78 season and the 79 season in JUCO, because of that one play, they were saying, hey, he's really a senior, not a junior, and he doesn't have 90 credit hours, so he's not eligible to play. There was a rule at the time, if you didn't have 90 credit hours, you know, the academics had to follow the year in school kind of thing. So the issue was, hey, you can't play for Illinois in 1980 because you are technically a senior because of that one play in that one game in 1977. And because you're a senior, you need 90 hours. You don't have 90 credits. You're ineligible to play in a Big Ten football game. He sued, won the suit, and played in 1980. That 600 yards in the Ohio State game happened because he had won the injunction. He got an injunction to play, but then the case was going to play out in 81. Similar to Terrence Shannon, like injunction now because the season is immediate, and then we'll see what happens in the court case next summer kind of thing. He plays. Then he is trying to get eligibility for 81 as well, saying, I only played in one game. The Big Ten is fighting it on the whole, you know, academic side of things. The NCAA is fighting it on the just their, you know, the way they did it. And the way this thing comes out is the NCAA says, okay, he has another year of eligibility. And the Big Ten says, no, he doesn't. The Big Ten says, I believe he eventually lost the case that he had had the injunction for. And so the Big Ten says, okay, then that's it. You're done. You don't get another year of eligibility. Illinois countersues, all this stuff. And it got, so for older fans, we'll remember this. Like May, I believe it was April and May of 81, it got to where the Big Ten fighting Illinois sanctioned like a 3-year you can't appear on TV. Like 3 years of sanctions for playing Dave Wilson in a football game. It was more or less retribution for the lawsuit. He got the injunction he could play, but then he eventually lost that. So they're saying like, well, he shouldn't have played at all. You played an illegal player, 3 years of sanctions. Illinois, I believe, I looked up the article date this morning. It was May 1st of 81. Illinois was going to pull out of the Big Ten. Like, you can find articles in the Tribune and the New York Times and this from May 1st of 1981 of them saying, you know what? Fine. You're gonna give us 3 years of sanctions. We are going to leave the Big Ten. So in May of 1981, Illinois was like, all right, we're trying to find another conference. As it all worked out, cooler heads prevailed. The sanctions were reduced from 3 years to 1 year. But I need to emphasize, this was the Big Ten doing this. It was the Big Ten. The NCAA said, Wilson, fine, you're cleared, you can play another year. Again, redshirts were a thing at the time. The Big Ten just didn't allow redshirt years at JUCO to count. And so Wilson couldn't play. He ended up going to the supplemental draft, which is what Sorsby's going to do now. Mm-hmm. That's why these cases are so similar. The reason Sorsby had to make this decision this week is the deadline for, I think it's the end of this week, is the deadline for the supplemental draft.
And there was going to be a countersuit that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So they had to make a decision, and he can't let those suits drag on. And if he loses, then he can't even get to the supplemental draft. So, you know, they had to make a decision. But that's why these are so similar, in that the conference was involved. You know, again, the NCAA has their angle. the conference, the Big Ten at that time, the Big 12 here with Sorsby, has their own angle toward it and their own coaches and organizations and everything else. And that's why they're similar, because NCAA was fine with Illinois back then, and it was the Big Ten. And you can go find quotes from Bo Schembechler and everything. It got ugly, 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 ugly. And almost led to Illinois leaving the Big Ten. But cooler heads prevailed. One last thing on it, and this is crazy. When Illinois was then asked, as part of all the court documents and as part of all the eligibility things, to submit, all right, show us the transcript of Dave Wilson. Illinois gets the transcript, submits it to the Big Ten and to the NCAA. It was a different Dave Wilson. It was somebody at the junior college who just grabbed the wrong file. Okay? They corrected it. They got the actual Dave Wilson's file. But those Big Ten people were saying, like, Illinois cheating. They're totally cheating. Illinois cheating. JUCO, who are these kids? They're not even academic. But, you know, they used that thing to blow up the whole thing. It's like the distraction kind of thing. They used that to be like, Illinois, obviously, he's probably not even academically eligible. They used another Dave Wilson's transcript and tried to pull one over on us. So that's what it became, is the Big Ten in all their, you know, just think of what 1979 Big Ten administrators were like. And that was their, like, oh, they're cheating. They're totally cheating. And Illinois had to get the JUCO to say, like, no, our employee just literally pulled the wrong transcript for another student named David Wilson. And we're sorry, and here's the right one. But that's what it became. So I agree with Matt Brown. All of this that you're seeing, if Twitter existed in May 1st of 1981, it would have been this crazy, is Illinois going to leave the Big Ten over protest of how the Dave Wilson thing was handled and all of these sanctions that the Big Ten is over the top with for the whole thing?
I knew about the slush fund. I knew about the valley that Illinois, especially Illinois football,
yep,
but a lot of things had to go through in the 1970s. And I knew that Mike White came in and with Dave Wilson and others, like, mm-hmm, reignited Illinois football. But I only knew about, oh, at the end of Mike White's tenure, he got in some hot water, and mm-hmm, that's what led to the switch and Makovic, mm-hmm, and we all know from there. That's a fascinating story.
It's crazy.
For those of you who didn't fast forward.
That's right.
I know
that's
get on you.
For going on a long time.
You. I needle you. Mm-hmm. I should say I don't get on you, but mm-hmm, that...
To me, the transcript thing is the, because you can just see how that plays out, right?
Yeah.
That Michigan probably knew, oh, well, the school submitted the wrong one. But you can also use that to say they sent in another transcript for they're obviously cheating.
And you could see if somebody wanted to pull one, you know, you're like, just give me some different Dave Wilson and be like, oh, did we? Oh,
yes.
Sorry about that.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And so that's what that, and again, I want to emphasize, it was years ago that a reader pointed it out to me, just an older subscriber of my website, who I mentioned David Wilson's thing, and they said, hey, sometime you should do a deep dive on 80-81 and all the stuff at the NCAA and the Big Ten, or in the Illinois threatening to leave the Big Ten. And so I'm like, I need to know more about that. And so I dug and dug and dug.
Look at how this all works out here. You know, I meet Kendall and I educate him on the 2000s, mm-hmm, you know, and Justin Timberlake.
We let him know that his dad was all conference, yeah, in the Big Ten.
We educated him on the 90s, but he educated us a little bit on his dad and all that in the 90s. Uh-huh. And then you took us back to the 80s.
And then he
playing the hits across the decades here on Light the Eye.
I believe he promised that the project will be done by November. Is that right? It'll be all complete.
As a rogue spokesperson for IDOT.
That was really great of him to do. I mean, what a debut, really. Really.
All right, when we come back, we're going to do our highlights, some things you missed. This episode of Light the Eye is brought to you by Logic Co-working, a favorite spot for Robert and I to gather and do some podcast planning and whatever else we might like to get accomplished in a day's work. Logic Co-working offers you some permanent office space if you're a remote worker and want to get out of the house, with fast, reliable internet and plenty of amenities. But there's also plenty of open memberships that you can sign up for, so you can come into Logic and grab yourself a booth, a table, or an available cubicle, whatever suits your needs to get away and focus on a project or do some regular work. Logic Coworking has 24/7 access for their monthly membership and great amenities. I mentioned the internet, but how about printing, a kitchen, bathrooms, and locker rooms, even if you need to make a change. Find your focus in a workspace designed to inspire, connect, and support you. It's Champaign's home for co-working. Logic Co-working at the corner of Neal and St. Mary's in Champaign. All right, I call this our eye lights segment. Get it?
Eye lights, light the eye.
Some items about Illinois athletics. Practices, summer workouts have started for men's basketball and women's basketball. Always a marker of the start of the summer session. And I don't know, there's always things you do in your summer workouts that you don't do later. I don't quite get, I mean, it seems less restrictive than it used to be, but they get certain numbers of hours and they can do certain types of things, but they don't do all the things. Because then they come back after the summer session and do other things. And then, well, now we don't have the first practice Midnight Madness stuff anymore,
because they change the rules every year. Yeah,
it's a much longer ramp up. But anyway, here we are, right of summer. Summer workouts have started for basketball.
The freshmen are here.
The freshmen are here. Seven newcomers for Illinois men, and that means new numbers. We got the numbers. Lincoln Williams, the latest signee from Kankakee. Number one, Stefan Vox. Number seven, Quinton Coleman. Number 11, Xavier Zenz, 22. Lucas Murillo, 23. Landon Davis, 27. Ethan Brown from Missouri is 34. I know these numbers just bring energy for you. You're like a numerologist. Is that a thing? Wait, is that a...
Isn't numerologist, isn't that the person that, like, it's like astrology for numbers and they, like, try to read into everything?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Yes. Read in.
I'll read in. All I like with with football numbers, I get a nice vibe with, like, you know, a defensive end that's in 97 feels good to me. All that stuff. With basketball, it's all about who's wearing whose number. And so Quinton Coleman wearing D. Brown and Io's number, that's big. Like, that's the best number vibes we've had in a long time. Now, it's also weird to see, what was it, 2 years ago that they started allowing numbers above
five. Digits
above five. You know what? Some people, I talked to somebody recently who didn't know why that was. So I'll just say it here. Like, it was simply the reason you could only have, you know, 11 through 15, 20 through 25, 30 through 35 was for the officials to turn to the thing and say, foul on 45. That was the only reason that they didn't allow those numbers. Not saying that the officials could maybe communicate 27 fairly easily. You know, you could do...
Well, yeah, now
you know,
they do the, like, this. This is a 7. Zoom in on me, Kendall. See, like, that's a 7, something like that.
That's right. That's right.
Or an 8. But I don't know. Are we going to see a Mihailo Petrovic 77 again?
I think we will. I mean, we'll see. Wasn't there... Put the thing back up real quick, Kendall. Landon Davis is 27. So there's a... And Stefan Vox is 7. So
I know it was a different sport, but 77 is sort of a thing around here from Red Grange. So
I don't hate it. I don't hate it. Okay. It's only retired on one side of the street.
Okay.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yes, the number I love the most is Quinton Coleman. But hands down. Like, come on. Like... You get, I put together that chart that I'll put out on Twitter where, I'll add it here. I follow the RSCI Recruiting Services Consensus Index. It's the only real list that goes all the way back to 1998 of the top 100 players in every single high school class since then. Some of these lists started in the mid-2000s. Some of them were, like, recreated, and they went back and tried to rank players from previous classes. But the RSCI, I just list every Illini recruit who has been in those rankings. The highest ranking for a long time was D. Brown, the number 19 player in the 2002 class. Well, Quinton Coleman in the RSCI this year is 17. So that's the highest actual number of any recruit on that list. Will Riley wasn't. He was ranked in the following class because he reclassified that summer to enroll a year early. So to have the top two on paper recruits of the last 29 years in D. Brown and Quentin Coleman, at least on paper, are the highest ranked on that list. To have them wear the same number, that's pretty amazing. I'm loving it.
Speaking of recruiting on the football side, you mentioned it last segment that watching coaches check the commits and all that. Mm-hmm. Illinois football, let's see, notably got a flip of a running back who was going to go to Colorado, right?
He had committed to Colorado like 10 days prior kind of thing.
And look, I think it happens so commonly now that it's not dirty pool anymore.
I don't think so. I mean, a lot of it is a kid will be on a visit and get such high pressure that to I don't know if I would. I'll do it.
You're going to do a dating reference, aren't you?
No.
Is this like I
no.
would Oh, okay.
I'm going to do the famous story is that PJ Fleck puts kids in a room with an hourglass.
Oh.
And says, "You have an hour to commit to this program." It's like Sunday morning before they leave their official visit.
You're going
to
do it.
Yes. I can't, you know, I always have to be careful that I'm not saying things that, like, I still kind of count as a journalist, and I can't say something that's just rumored out there, but there are plenty of places that have written that before, you know, the famous PJ Fleck hourglass kind of thing. Who knows if it's urban legend or if it's real or this and that. But the point is...
You're going to run with it, though.
Some of these flips are kids that got talked into it and then got home and like, I don't know. Yes. Like, yeah, the salesman wouldn't let me leave the lot without signing this document. And I think I own a car now, but I really wasn't ready.
Look, we both know this car is not going to drive itself off the lot. So what do we got to do to get you in this today?
Yes. And so that's how I, especially the summer flips when like people are taking visits and committing to the next school on the next visit and that type of thing. I mean, it happens all the, it happens to Illinois. Famously, like my favorite recruit in this class, Jacob Eberhardt, Oklahoma convinced him to come on one last visit just the weekend before he was committing kind of thing, just to try to get him to maybe, you know, they had heard he was probably going to Illinois, but he hadn't committed yet. And so like, hey, come do one more visit, you know, like just check us out. You know, it's like the, it's like somebody's engaged and it's like, well, you're not married yet. Let's just, it's just drinks. It's just coffee. You know, it's living in that space kind of thing.
Well, but Oklahoma should have gotten to him sooner.
Hold on. Also, I need like a button here just for like a rim shot kind of thing.
I don't know if that was rim shot worthy.
I'll put it in and post. Do it again. Here we go. Oklahoma should have gotten to him
sooner.
Why did I say it? I ruined it. Do it again.
Nobody knows.
Okay,
keep Oklahoma going. Should have gotten to him sooner.
And perfect. That beat is maybe even better than a rim shot.
I think the imagination of a rim shot makes it more dramatic.
Yes, it does.
Also, a very good wide receiver out of Geneva, Illinois, there on the Fox River in the western edge of Chicagoland. Mm-hmm. So things are looking up in football recruiting.
Yep. It's going to be a much, much, much smaller class. I mean, partly because, look, there are 57 newcomers on this roster, including, what, 33 high school players have joined the program. So, yes. Last year, ton of seniors graduating, a fair bit of turnover with, you know, portal guys and you know, guys off the NFL, things like that. This class will probably be half the size of last year's class, something like that. So a little more of a pick and choose individual players class than a massive class like last year.
All right, some more highlights. Track and field. The season has come to a close. Women finish 8th in the nation. The men finish 35th. But some notable to talk about. The Illini have, the women have an All-American and a Big Ten champion, heptathlete, Jaisiona Gerald Holt, hope I'm getting that right. She was just named Big Ten Freshman of the Year by the conference just yesterday. She is the ninth Illinois track and field athlete to become a Big Ten Freshman of the Year, and second consecutive year the Illini have had one. So congratulations there. Then Rose Yeboah, remember she won a national championship in high jump.
Mm-hmm.
She practices for that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
she follows through when she says she's going to jump?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like if she said, yeah, hey, I think I can go high jump 6 feet or something right now, then she would go prove it.
Can I say this right now? No chance I can high jump 6 feet. Continue.
Yeah. We're glad you have some measure of sobriety when it comes to evaluating yourself. Kendall, you don't know about this, do you?
Oh, Kendall doesn't know about this. Let's talk about it with Kendall.
Okay.
People are sick of hearing
this. Let's give Rose her
let's
give Rose her flowers, then we'll come back to this.
Yes.
Okay. Rose Yeboah, second this year, national runner up, which is still really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Cleared a best mark, season best mark of 1.96 meters. So congratulations to her. The Illini women scored 27 points. Petros Kyprianou said not the finish they wanted. Sound slightly disappointed in that, but he liked how they fought and how deep they went in the NCAA championship. So, again, Illinois is now turning into a name, especially on the women's side when it comes to track.
He's already announced some portal additions, too, as well.
Yes.
Big portal. Yes.
Big portal additions. Illinois women's tennis has just announced their new head coach after Evan Clark stepped away into retirement after coaching 11 seasons. They turn to another in-state product.
The call is coming from inside the house.
Yes. She was at UIC as the Flames coach. She is now coming to the Illini. Elizabeth Lumpkin Robinson, the new head coach for the Illini. And where is she from, Robert?
Oh, I don't know.
Why, she's from Naperville, Illinois.
Oh, my gosh. How many people in Naperville now?
You know, just the right amount.
Is there 200,000 people in Naperville?
And I'm even willing to give Elizabeth a pass for having gone to Naperville Central instead of Naperville North.
The population of Naperville is 153,000 people.
It's usually Naperville and Aurora kind of jockeying for position there. It's usually usually in the top five in the state in population.
That's incredible. One suburb, 150,000.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's a great place to live. That was the slogan for a while. I don't know if it still is. Naperville, a great place to live.
Is it no longer a great place to live?
No, it's a great place to live.
Okay.
It's not necessarily an affordable place to live for everybody, but it's a great place to live.
Yes.
And it's a great place to go visit the grandparents.
Yeah.
My parents, my in-laws.
And, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Elizabeth Lumpkin Robinson, new head coach. So I think they have a full slate now of head coaches. Josh Whitman has finished out the hiring. Had to hire a wrestling head coach. He did that internally, promoting somebody. Had to hire women's tennis. And what am I missing?
Softball.
Just did it. Softball, of course.
Yep.
And that's my next highlight.
Mm-hmm.
Jenna Hall has been rounding out her staff as the new softball coach. And she just added Lily Piper, who I'm now at that point where it's like, oh, I remember those athletes playing and now they're coaches. So Lily was an outstanding player for Ohio State, and Jenna Hall was on staff then at Ohio State and coached her, and then she brought her onto her coaching staff at Ohio University, which is different than the Ohio State University, you know, Robert.
Yep.
Anyway, phenomenal player, and it sounds like a great coach. And if you look at the other hires she's made some significant resumes.
That has to be fun, right? Like, you know,
yeah, you
get your dream job and you're setting up the staff the way you want it. You're starting to recruit. Those have to be fun days to, you know, you're starting the job you've always been pointing toward, and now I'm going to build it the way I want to build it. And that has to be fun.
All right. Tangentially, an highlight, sad news for Ty Rogers. Transfers to Boise State, and they just put out that he is injured again, and he is out indefinitely, and I don't know if there's been anything further clarified, but anytime you see that word indefinitely,
And some they have to put out a
statement.
A statement.
It's not a, he's going to be limited for a couple weeks.
And what was the first week of practice at Boise State?
I know that people are just crushed for him. And, and again, program guy at Illinois. He was the pro. I remember, you know, it's like, okay, there's been all this roster turnover. Like, you're going to be the culture guy. You're going to be the glue. You know, this is who we are. This is how we do things. Like Trent Frazier and DeMonte Williams first were, and Io DeSumo was, you know, like those people. And in this world of transfer in, transfer out, like, you need somebody that says this is, and then he never, I mean, he got a ring.
Yeah, I'm starter on an Elite Eight team. Let's talk about that. Starter on an Elite Eight team.
Yeah, but just never.
God, I hate it for
it's just one of those guys. It's like, when is this? Like, it's not. It's it reminds me of Mikey Dudek.
Yep.
For football, and it was just like, no, okay, injuries are a part. And gee, that's unfortunate. And then it's like, okay, what cruel trick is being put upon this person? Like, this is not fair.
I mean, Dre Brown was the same way.
Yep.
Dre Brown was 4 years of five knee surgeries, both ACLs, and then he had to, you know, follow up surgeries and this and that until he finally got in there. That's just as an aside. That's what made the 2019 Michigan State game so sweet, is that, you know, the big play of the game to set up the first and goal from the one was Dre Brown. You know, obviously Josh Amatabebe in that game had 180 some receiving yards, but Dre was a beast in that game. So for him to fight and fight and fight through three missed seasons and all that stuff, to have those moments on the field, was MVP of that team, offensive MVP voted by his teammates, that was great. And I am hoping and praying for a Ty Rogers story someday where he's leading someone on a deep tournament run because he fought through all of this.
Yep. Okay.
Do you need to tell Kendall?
I need to tell Kendall.
Yeah, yeah.
And I appreciate your willingness to be held accountable.
Yes, I do. I do, because I've had people stop me in public and said, are you ever going to do this?
All right, Kendall, here's the deal. On an episode way too long ago now, we were discussing track and field. And, of course, here in the Armory, track and field does their indoor events, and they practice indoors here. So who over here says... We're discussing this, and we were randomly saying,
Sophia Beckman had jumped 23 feet something.
Some crazy good length.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert just goes, I could go jump 10 feet right now.
Yes.
10 feet in distance. Have you ever long jumped, Kendall? Like, what did you do, sports?
Well, when I did track, surprisingly, I only did track in middle school. So, and with my build, I mean, you can see me now. I'm scrawny, right? And... You would think he would put me in long distance. My athletic director, who was the coach at the time of our middle school over at St. Matt's here in Champaign.
Shout out St. Matt's.
Yeah, and so he actually put me for shot put and discus. Because I was the tallest kid. That was his theory, is that my long arms would work well with shot put and discus. But I was sitting there, and there's kids built like rocks and boulders, and I'm in that shot put ring, and I'm standing out like a sore thumb, man. It's insane.
Bold strategy, Cotton.
Did you ever attempt a long jump, triple jump, any of those?
Well, no, because I never had the opportunity.
Right,
but
you were over there. You're over there chalking up your neck for a shot put.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, let's put this to the test, because Robert said I could just go.
I said I could go in there right now and jump 10 feet.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
And so we took a little poll around here on the podcast. And so now I will ask you, Kendall, could Robert go out there and jump 10 feet?
On a long jump.
Mm-hmm.
Just one jump.
Full speed sprint, hit the board.
I'm really having to think about this. 10 feet.
He would be permitted to, you know, stretch, warm up.
But I can't practice. Injury. It has to be the very first jump.
Robert, I think you would have the... I think you could do it. I think you could.
Look at this.
You know, it's Maisie's
optimism
answer...
of this generation that
Maisie's
gives us hope.
Answer was, I would love to see you jump 10 feet.
I think she said, I would love that for you.
Yeah, I'd love that for you. Yeah. Yes. I don't want to say that I think there's no chance. Look, two parking spaces. Like go to the grocery store. Those parking space stripes are 9 feet apart. Look at it. It's not that far. I just got to jump one more feet than that. I got to do it. Okay, I'm doing it in the next month because I have to do it because people don't think I'm going to do it.
It's only been 6 months of you not doing it.
Well, part of that reason is because I received a phone call saying that I could not do this on university property.
Gee, I wonder why.
That there might be some liability concerns. So we had to pivot. So I need to find somewhere and then not tell anyone I'm going out there and like have my wife film it or something. And then use some AI to get me to float through the air. And then we'll play it on the program.
Yeah. So the whole thing, Kendall, is he said he could do this. You are, you know, it's your first episode. You're probably being nice. So you're saying, oh, yeah, you could do that. But the reality is he can't.
I could do it.
He could not do this. And so because I take the counter position, I said, let's make this interesting. And we have both offered up $77. Mm-hmm. To the
charity of the others choosing.
Yes. If he clears it, I will. And others have said, hey, I'll chip in too.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's where we're at, Kendall. He says he's going to do it soon, but you know, Kendall, feel free anytime you're here with us to just go, Robert, long jump.
Mm-hmm. It's going to happen in the next month. Before, what is today?
We are recording 16th, on the
18th. It's my son's birthday. I should know what today is. Yes, by July 18th, it will be done. It'll be attempted.
I'll chip in $100.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first.
I believe the children are our future.
$100. And he said his dad is committed to, by the start of the football season, the entire construction project will be done.
He did not say
that. What an amazing debut for Kendall. Just amazing.
Wild accusations.
Incredible.
All right, Kendall. We've got all kinds of impulsive comments that happen on this podcast.
That's right.
Make sure you have the sufficient funds. That's all I'm saying. That's
yes.
A little steep for the junior.
That's right. He trusts me. He knows I can do it. It's 10 feet. It's once you're moving. Like I couldn't do a broad jump like that, but once you're moving, it's not hard to just lift your legs up and then put them back down 10 feet later.
Yeah, 22 is a whole different story, but 10.
10's totally doable.
Look at me. Look right here.
Mm-hmm.
Look right here, Kendall. No shot. Okay, I got two things left for you, all right? Okay. Next week, mm-hmm. Josh Whitman, athletic director for Illinois. I say that because sometimes you never know.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
He will hold his annual media roundtable. It's a get-together with an assembled media, and it's a little bit more informal, but he kind of does a state of the athletics, mm-hmm. and goes through it, you know, and then there's, like, open questions and all that. Is top of mind, like, what is maybe number one or what are you most curious about that you hope you find out more about when we visit with Josh Whitman next week?
The numbers on the total athletic revenue have, like, in 2017, we were something like 43rd highest athletic revenue. I want to know where we're at after this year, because it's probably like 15th or something like that. Like, the revenue at Illinois, not just from, you know, obviously the Big Ten revenue has spiked, and so Big Ten, all boats have risen, but Illinois has also found a ton of investment with all these wins and season ticket sales and the reseeding and, you know, the iFund having its biggest year ever and everything else. So I want to know where Illinois sits among all those other programs in terms of total athletic revenue, because we are quickly becoming a big boy at the table.
Mm-hmm. And one curious angle I have is resources across the sports. It feels like, not that everything's done or ever finished, but mm-hmm. you have your major revenue programs in good spots,
mm-hmm.
football and the two basketballs. When it comes to the other sports, where do you want to go from here in terms of resourcing to be competitive in as many sports as possible, be competitive at a championship level for Big Ten sports?
I would just like to point out the worst omen possible. Literally, as you were saying that, the pennant fell off behind your head. I believe, Kendall, were you on the single shot of Scott when that happened?
No.
Yeah, yeah.
You are saying the words like the strength of the program has never been better, and that falls.
It's like a scene out of Arrested Development. That's a gag.
Exactly right.
Well, you put your hand on the wall, it falls. Oh,
we're never gonna top that moment. We're just not.
That's awesome.
Play it back in slow mo.
That's right. That's right.
All right. After that round table, we will break that down for you.
All right. The table isn't actually round. It's a square of a bunch of tables. Secret information.
Kind of a metaphor.
Yes.
Last thing. I don't know if you know this. Actually, I like doing crosswords.
Okay.
I like doing the... Can I say this and not be... Whatever. You're the one that tells me to lean into who I am.
Lean into it.
I like the New York Times Sunday crossword, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is the one I did this past week.
Okay.
First of all, I would just like you to know I only missed three letters.
Okay.
In the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have to look anything up. But 52 across. NCAA with periods on it.
Mm-hmm.
Hoops powerhouse. Three letters.
Three letters?
Yes. NCAA hoops powerhouse. The periods in the cross, this is a little crossword insider.
Oh.
Because they put periods there, that's their tell, like, I'm looking for an abbreviation.
Please tell me it was ILL.
I'm sorry, the answer was UNC. Do you agree with the clue?
No.
In this puzzle, edited by Will Shorts,
mm-hmm.
UNC. NCAA hoops powerhouse. Got a bone to pick with the times, don't you?
Mm-hmm. They're no longer... Well, that's
it was three letters.
Yes, that's true.
And it's the only thing that fit with Mud Pie going the other way.
That whole time I thought you were setting me up to say that the New York Times said we're a hoops powerhouse and I was ready to celebrate it. So I'm dealing with my own emotions right now that it's not us.
I had to explain to my son the 2005 championship game against UNC.
What? Would you lead with Augustine and Sean May?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
In the fouls.
Because that's all that matters.
Augustine just got another foul right now.
Stolen from us. Stolen. 11 minutes, 0 points from our starting center. 11 minutes, 0 points because of the officials. But anyway, thanks for joining, everyone.
Thanks, Kendall Crawford, for being our producer today. Thanks to our fine hosts here at the Center for Teaching and Innovation at the University of Illinois and our studio that they welcome us into. Here inside the Armory. Enjoy your summertime, and we will talk to you again real soon. The next time we light the eye.
Luther 3, where should I follow?